Hi, I'm Adam.
Hi, I'm Joe.
I would like to thank you for choosing.
Please have your headsets ready for...
Adam and Joe in the studio, coming through loud and clear. Hello, yes, this is XFM.
Oh, fantastic stuff. That's Steady As She Goes from the Raconteurs. Hey, this is Adam Buxton.
This is Joe Cornish. Welcome to our Saturday morning show. We're with you all the way until what? Until 1, I think.
Till 1 p.m. when you enter the world of Mick Rock and his extraordinary rock and roll anecdotage and an excellent selection of music.
Yeah.
We've got some great music for you as well. Civil Sin. No, that's... I keep on getting the title and the artist mixed up because I'm getting ancient. Boy Kill Boy. That's the name of the band, but you can't, you know,
what?
Blame me for confusing Civil and Civil Sin and Boy Kill Boy. That's too just
it's a mistake I'd never make.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd try
never get them confused. We got brilliant music. Franz Ferdinand, Foo Fighters, Captain with Glorious. Yeah, some Blur coming up.
But it might be Glorious.
No, Captain. I know it isn't.
Or Captain.
The Zootons. Yeah, and a couple of free plays as well. That's just the first hour. We got a competition coming up. We got stuff to give away. It's just it's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. Don't be too overwhelmed, though, man.
I find it overwhelming. I think I just want to go back to bed.
Don't go back to bed. You know, I've had a very difficult week as well.
Really?
Yeah, it's been quite stressful and traumatic. I'll tell you about it in a second. But
that's
first,
exciting.
Let's have some more music. Here's the Dirty Pretty Things.
Dirty.
There you go, Franz Ferdinand with Walk Away. Did you like the video for that track, Joe? Were you aware of the video?
No, what happens in the video to that?
It's a kind of a 50s noir throwback thing, you know what I mean? With the Franz people wandering around, they're in a car chase, he's driving a car, there's a clearly fake backdrop kind of thing. Do you know the sort of thing? It's all very moodily lit. There's a lady, she's got stockings, she's got blonde hair, that kind of thing.
There's a lady... she's got stockings. She's got blonde hair.
That's the new Franz Ferdinand.
You know what I have been reading, though?
What?
Is, what's the lead singer called? Alex?
Kapranos.
He's got a column in The Guardian on the food pages. Does anybody read that?
I don't read the papers enough. Does he really have a column?
Yeah, he's got a column about food. I don't know whether it's a joke. I sort of hope it's a joke.
Right.
Because it's very pretentious. He once described an omelette... that had bacon and cheese and apple in it.
Yeah.
And he started going on about the characteristics of apple. Man, I should bring it in. But it was apple is a cheeky fruit. Zesty, but bitchy. Whereas bacon is a lazy meat. Elegant and reclined. Cheese bonds the two like a naughty sibling. Or something. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating. So
amazing.
Now I read it every week because I think I might get a fiver out of Private Eye by sending it to Sued's Corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't we get a column in The Guardian? You know, commenting on something like what he does.
Well, I don't think we've got the skills, do we?
Yeah, I could write about the personality of food stuff.
Does Dom Jolly still do his column?
That's in The Telegraph, yeah. Dom Jolly, the host of
Trigger Happy TV. Was it The Observer?
In fact, I think it's The Independent.
Is it?
Is what it is. Right. Yeah, and yes, he does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and I read it, and I bubble with hate.
It's very difficult to win with columns, isn't it? I mean...
I tell you, the problem with most columns is the picture of the person. You know, you open up a... They don't have this in the tabloids, but you open up a broadsheet... And they insist on putting a silly little photo of the journalist.
They always look smug.
And the journalist, yeah, they're not allowed to smile like a normal person would do. Take my photo. Ooh. Like that. Most people, right? Or maybe that's just me.
They have to look really cool, you know, like they've got attitude.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. The photo has to express the fact that they're thinking something that you would never think.
What
something
are you looking
so
at?
Cleverly exactly. Extraordinary and unusual that it's going to blow your stupid mind right across the room.
Some of them have a hand up to the face, leaning on the hand. Others just have a raised eyebrow. Some have a half smile, like funny. Or is it? Kind of like that. It gets you thinking from the word go.
Yeah, our pictures always had us just grinning. Generally, we grin.
Yeah, that's why people have no respect for our opinions. Alex, what's his name? Pocahontas?
Kapranos.
Kapranos. He, I think he has a sort of wry smile. His is kind of head-on, full frontal, directly looking you in the face with a half smile. Like, can you deal with this? What do you make of this? Is it a joke? Is it not?
Yeah.
Anyway, I recommend his column in The Guardian.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'll bring it in.
Okay.
In future.
There you go. Franz Ferdinand news. Music. Here is Boy Kill Boy with Civil Sin. That was the re-recorded version of the East London Quartet's second single, originally released in September last year. I'm talking about Boy Kill Boy.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew you were.
And the song was called Civil Sin.
I knew it. I knew it was.
What kind of a name is Boy Kill Boy?
Sexy.
Sexy.
Homoerotic. Violent.
Oof.
Challenging. Truthful.
Shocking.
Truthful.
Truthful.
Yeah.
Thought-provoking.
It's probably from something or somewhere, isn't it?
Like a comic or something.
Something like that, yeah. We're probably showing our ignorance in not knowing where it's from.
It doesn't say. I'm scanning the notes here. Oh, here we go. The name stems from frontman Chris mishearing a bloke in a Bethnal Green pub talking about a band called Roy.
Wow, that's pretty thin ground to name your band on, isn't it?
That's all you need. That's all you need for rock and roll, for a name. So, man, I had a bit of a nightmare last weekend after the show.
Right.
Because I was going off to a wedding with my wife.
Yeah.
And we'd hired a car. And hiring a car is one of those things that derails your life from its normal, safe path. Do you know what I mean? And immediately puts you into murky waters where anything could go wrong.
Puts you into a hired car.
I know, that's the theory, isn't it? But you know what I'm saying? It's like once you get off the routine of your normal, knowable life, all sorts of grim things can happen. And we made the mistake of visiting a car hire company that has the same name as a big building in Mexico that Ozzy Osbourne once took a wee against. Remember the... Okay?
Yeah.
And you can fill in the blank, listeners.
Yeah.
Anyway, it took 2.5 hours to queue for the car.
No.
Yeah.
That was a long queue.
Yeah. That had been booked 4 days beforehand. It was all done and dusted. Had to go
two and a half hours.
Go and pick up the car. You go and pick up the car.
Four and a
all
half.
Paid for, all done and dusted. 2.5 hour queue for the
four
car.
Four and a half.
No. And then when finally we get to the front of the queue, and all the time that we're queuing, right, the staff are sort of giggling about how frustrated all the customers are getting. Somebody's card doesn't go through. They start chuckling about that, smirking at each other, taking delight in the absolute fury and frustration of their patrons. And of course, you're completely powerless because you're in the queue. You need your car. All your arrangements are made. There's nothing you can do. You just have to stay there and hope that you get your car at the end of it. We get to the front of the queue finally, and the car that we'd reserved it's gone. They've given it to someone else. So they give us a different crappy car. It was incredibly hot in the car, and the air conditioning didn't work at all. You know? Completely busted. In fact, it was blowing hot air out at an incredible rate. And the higher you turned the thing, the more it blasted very hot air.
What sort of a car was it?
A blue one.
A blue one?
Yeah.
They're not supposed to be very good.
No.
I've heard bad things.
Yeah.
What car says the blue ones are no good?
Well,
it's on the
right.
Cover.
Exactly.
Pink ones, yes.
It was dreadful. Anyway, so that was a traumatic thing in itself. Sunday night, we get back, park the car, getting ready to take it back to the hire place in the morning. We wake up in the morning to find at 9:15 in the morning, the car's been towed. By Lambeth Council. Yeah, because it's been there ticketed, you know, because we didn't even think about the fact that it was... We just left it in our normal space, but it's...
And you didn't have your residence thing on.
Parking. No, residence thing, so they towed it immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as they could.
That's how it goes down.
It's just... I mean, it makes you want to...
And that costs about 150 quid, doesn't it, to get it out of that?
200 quid.
200 quid.
200 pounds. So at the end of the weekend... We'd spent about 350 quid on a blue car with fire coming out of the air conditioning vents and rude service from the car hire company.
That's terrible. Was it a good wedding, though?
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah, so there brilliant. You go. There is a happy ending. Isn't that terrible? You know, the weird thing is I've had a bad experience in there as well.
Have you?
Yeah, I got really angry with the guy behind the counter for exactly the same reason.
Because they were taking so long.
Taking ages, just being really rude.
Uh-huh.
Really genuinely rude. Ah, makes me angry.
What can we do? Stop it. Okay, free play time. Here's Eels with Lick Your Boots.
What?
That was Eels with To Lick Your Boots. Bit of a free play there. That was from their last album. Huge, great double album, I think it was. And it was fantastic. Well worth checking out. We're going to be back after the break. It's going to be competition time.
I love competition time.
Everybody does. Because it's fun to listen to. Plus, you stand to gain personally from the whole transaction.
What's it going to be? What competition?
I think it's going to be a crap commentary, isn't it?
So it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a good one this week.
Okay, get set for that after this. XFM. That was the Mighty Foo Fighters with The Best of You. This is Adam and Joe on XFM, and it's competition time. This week, it's...
Recorded off of a DVD. Why don't you listen and see? You could win some crap for free. Can you tell who's speaking? Animal movie they're critiquing. Go ahead, it's easy. You can use IMDb.
There we go, it's Crap Commentary Corner. This is the competition where we play you some excerpts from a DVD commentary. You have to tell us who's talking and what movie they're talking about. You know, it's not just a boring clip of someone ranting on.
No.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Very
it's,
me.
I've scoured the world's DVDs to bring you the stupidest ones. Anyway, okay, so stand by your phones, 0871-222-1049. If you know who this is talking about what film, you could win either a pair of tickets to see DJ Shadow at Coco on the 29th of August, or Lost Series 2 Part 1, a DVD box set. That's exciting if you're a fan of Lost.
That's amazing. That's a good prize.
Yeah. So here we go. Here's clip number one. This is a director. It's not a new film, but it's a really, you know, it's certainly last 10 years. 10 years, 5 years, I forget. Anyway, it's quite a famous big blockbuster. And here's the director talking about how he got his story ideas.
Because there was an agenda for me to do a more kid-friendly movie, I went to the source. I went to my godson, who was about 6. So a lot of these ideas come from him.
That's encouraging.
That's not good news, is it? I mean, the last person to do that was Robert Rodriguez, who got his 6-year-old kid to write a film that ended up being called Shark Boy and Lava Girl, and that's not the answer.
Yeah.
That's not the sound of Robert Rodriguez. And that was the worst film ever made.
It was certainly up there, wasn't it?
Don't ask a 6-year-old for advice on anything. What could you ask a 6-year-old for advice on?
Weeing on the floor.
There you go, that's it. That's the extent of their knowledge. So, if you know who that is, 0871-222-1049, we'll make it a bit easier by playing you another clip. This is a new word that the director learnt when making this film, a new term that'd be useful for all of us.
As you can see, a lot of things look like action toys and action figures, because I'm sure I don't have to tell you what kind of profits those toys make. I learned a new phrase in my life called toyetic, whether a movie is toyetic or not, and how many toys people can get out of it.
Toyetic?
Mm.
That is a ridiculous word. Why doesn't he just use the word, like, marketable? Is that not a word that does the same job in that
it's
situation?
Not as exciting as toyetic.
Toyetic.
Toyetic's a good word.
The way he said it as well. I learned a new, a new word. Toyetic. He sounds frightening, the man.
Well, I think he's probably quite nice.
You reckon?
So two clues so far. He gets his ideas from his 6-year-old nephew. He has made a film that's very toyetic. Here's clip number three, and this will probably give it away. But, you know, this movie was perceived as a failure. But the director, in retrospect, doesn't think it was, and here's his justification.
I don't think it's considered a success, because I think that I disappointed some people. But I just wanted you to know it ruined all our lives. George went on to become one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Uma starred in the Kill Bill series, as you know. And Arnold went on to be governor of California. So, yeah, it just destroyed all of us.
There you go. He's a little insincere there.
Yeah.
Sarcastic, even.
I know. Smug, even.
We can't go into that in any more detail without giving it away, but it's pretty easy. 0871 222 1049. If you know what director that was and what movie he was commentating on, you can win lost DVDs or a pair of tickets to see DJ Shadow. If you know that, call now.
That was Captain with Glorious. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. It's time to resolve our competition, Crap Commentary Corner, for this week. And we have a caller on the line who thinks he knows not only the director's name, but what film he was talking
wow.
about. Are you there, Derek?
Yes, hello.
How are you doing? I'm very well, Derek. I'm just telling that before you asked me, just to get that
wow.
out of the way.
You intercepted that.
Yeah, I'm incredibly well, so don't ask.
I'm right? very ill, Derek.
Joe's very ill.
Yeah, so don't ask about that.
Don't bring
either.
It up, because he's very sensitive about
yeah.
it. How are you, right. though, Derek?
I'm fine. I'm good. Very good, thank you.
Matt, our callers sound like they're in space today.
We've got a space link-up. Shall I tell you a secret, Joe? I didn't want to mention it before. But we're actually in space.
Are we?
Yeah, we're doing the show from space.
Wow.
Because it's cheaper, we get a tax break, and we're orbiting just over Greece, and it's looking nice.
It does look nice.
Looks lovely.
It's very like Leicester Square. So, listen, Derek, you heard the clips, right? Say yes.
Yes.
Yes, and we're going to play you one more clip just to, you know, cement your correct answer. One more clip of this silly director. Are we going to do that, Adam?
Yes.
Oh dear, Adam headbutted his microphone. So Derek, stay on the line, we'll fade you down. We'll just play one last clip, and this is a clip of the director. I don't know what this clip's about, let's just hear it.
So of course, the two villains combine their evil here against our fabulous heroes. Oh, what will happen? I'm so worried. Oh, they've saved the day. Did you doubt it? And still looks so good.
That's just him being very insincere.
Yeah, I'll tell you what that clip's about. That clip's about the most cynical man in Hollywood sitting back and counting his millions while he insults the viewers of the world with his disgusting pile of stinky.
Well, hang on. Let's see what this disgusting pile of stinky is. Derek, are you still there?
Yes.
What's the name? What director was that, and what film was he banging on about?
It was Joel Schumacher, and he's talking about the film Batman and Robin.
Yes. Now, did you see that film, Derek?
Yes, it was terrible.
It was terrible, wasn't it?
And he said, Schumacher talks earlier on that commentary clip that we just heard about, this film may have disappointed a few people. I think it's pretty safe to say it disappointed every single person.
Even
who
the
saw
children.
It. Yeah.
I was disappointed, definitely.
It's a pretty cynical commentary, isn't it? He released that, that DVD was released along with Batman Begins, right? A sort of super special expensive edition.
Wow.
And he shows no remorse. In fact, he sort of wallows in the fact that he's made loads of money out of doing a bit of rubbish. Derek, thanks for calling and congratulations. Would you like to see DJ Shadow at Coco on the 29th of August? Is
yes,
that today?
That'd be fantastic.
No, it's
yeah.
next month.
Enjoy yourself at DJ Shadow. Thanks very
Thank
much
you.
Indeed for calling
Cheers,
in, Derek.
Bye.
Cheerio, have a good weekend.
Bye-bye. Oh, well done, Derek.
That was brilliant. That was competition time here on the Adam and Joe Show on XFM. We'll be back very shortly. That was Valerie by the Zootons. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
Yeah, in our new Saturday morning slot, we're just coming to the end of our first hour, but we're here with you till one.
Now, I was at the gymnasium the other day, Joe, because I like to keep my body in the peak of physical perfection.
It looks extraordinary.
Thanks very much.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
You're more of a machine than a man. A muscle machine.
Yeah, I'm like the Terminator, but more attractive.
I'd say it's perfect.
Thank you.
Your body's perfect.
Thank you very much.
Your body, my body, everybody needs somebody.
Mm, that's true. Anyway, so I was in the gym, and I was on the running machine, and you know, you got to love the running machine, going round and round and running, looking at the TV, watching MTV, that kind of thing. Have you ever been on a running machine?
Yeah, only a couple of times.
Yeah.
Not regularly.
No.
I don't like gyms.
I don't really like them
They're
either.
Insane.
So I'm on the running machine. Anyway, the guy in front, there's a running machine in front, and he stank.
He was stinky.
He smelled. And he was a huge guy. And I don't mean fat. I just mean he's one of these chaps that's like really massive, like every part of him is massive. I think he was a sort of rugby playing type of a person, do you know?
Right.
So he had huge chunky legs, like big thick tree trunks.
Mm.
And I realized that it's my least favorite physical characteristic on a man is massive legs. Do you know what I'm saying?
Tree trunk legs, they intimidate you.
big tree trunk lengths, and they often tend to be quite sort of hairless. I don't know if they intimidate me. They just, it's a real personal kink. They turn me off. And I've got sort of chunky legs.
Yeah.
But not to that massive degree, you know.
Yeah.
And it always makes me just think, oh, that guy probably smells. And it's totally unfair and irrational.
But why would there be a connection between us?
Well, because
stinkage and large thighage.
Because the two times that I've seen different blokes with huge tree trunk legs in the gym,
yeah,
they have stank.
What sort of a stink is it? A sweaty stink? A BO stink?
No, wet dog.
A wet dog? What kind of a stink is that?
It's the stink you get from not washing your gym kit well enough. And you put it back on, and when you start to sweat, it sets it off again. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like a mildewy smell. Like, here's the thing, you get it sometimes when you wash your clothes, but you leave them in the drum for too long before taking them out and drying them.
That's a fungus.
That's a kind of a fungus.
Yeah, that's just the water going putrid.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that's connected to the thighs. That's just his washing routine.
That's his washing routine, but
his
in my mind,
his thighs are activating the fungus. Because the thighs are so thick. They're so thick and they're bald. They're pushing the They're pushing the material, rubbing it, and therefore, I mean, they could be an advert, like a Unilever style personal advert.
Mm-hmm.
Working out the science of this, I can see cross sections of thighs and animations to illustrate the putrid fungus being released
by the giant legs.
By the giant legs, yeah. I don't know what your problem is though with giant thighs.
No, it's irrational. Have you got any irrational kind of body turn-offs?
Oh, I tend to dislike growths. Any major growths, to double heads emerging from the body.
Yeah.
But that's unusual, isn't it?
Catastrophic freakism.
Catastrophic freakism tends to unsettle me. I usually make an effort to, you know, counteract it by being over-friendly.
But you've got nothing like, I'm talking about like an irrational dislike of a physical characteristic in a man or a woman, you know, like a woman with a pronounced jutting jaw or a flat nose or large ears.
I tell you now, I tell you what gets me.
Yeah.
Is enormous earlobes.
Uh-huh.
And some men have enormous earlobes.
Old chaps do.
Old
blokes.
Chaps have enormous earlobes. Useless, great globules of flesh.
David Lean, he had giant ones.
Did he? Well, I agree. It happens when you get older, but sometimes you get it on young guys.
Yeah.
Just a useless amount of earlobe. Then, sometimes you get people with none.
None
at all.
That's right.
They come straight out. In fact, my earlobes aren't that generous.
They're not pronounced.
It's almost just a flap of skin.
But you've got one. You've got one.
I've got one.
It's not like it comes straight out of your face.
But it's almost like Aquaman.
Aquaman.
Or what's he called? The Thames Barrier. What was he called, that superhero? He wasn't called the Thames Barrier.
The Gemini Man.
That's the fella.
Was he called the Gemini Man? No, the man from Atlantis.
The man from Atlantis, that's right. So what I'm saying is it's almost as if you've got gills rather than ears, you know? Just flaps of skin.
Like Gil Scott-Heron.
That's the closest I can get to it. But I think rugby players have to have very big thighs.
They don't have to stink, though. Sort your personal regime out, big legs. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. We'll be back shortly. That was You're All I Have by Snow Patrol. This is Adam and Joe here on XFM on a Saturday afternoon. And don't forget that from 12 till 1, it's the X List here on the show. So you can text us, 83XFM, or email adamandjoe@xfm.co.uk with any requests of kind of classic indie moments, isn't it, Joe? That kind of thing.
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, Joe, I was a bit worried this week because I feel as if I'm turning into my dad in lots of ways. And I know you've mentioned this to me before once or twice when I've been particularly grumpy.
Mm.
But this was just things that I found myself saying to them that I thought, oh, God, I can't believe I'm actually coming out.
Saying to your parents?
No,
saying to your kids?
Saying to my children,
right.
You know, that my parents used to say to me. And I'm just sort of saying it as a fallback, you know, without even thinking about it, just automatically towards them.
I bet all these things are very wise.
Okay, we'll see.
I bet these are all words of wisdom.
Don't sit too close to the TV, I was saying this week.
Very wise.
What's the reason for that?
Because it's bad for your eyes.
Bad for your eyes. It can't be that bad, can it?
Yeah, it's pretty bad, especially for child's eyes that are still forming.
Yeah.
Those eyes are still growing. Having said that, is it not true that your eyes are the only things that don't get bigger as you grow?
I think that's right. Yeah, they stay
when
the same
size. When you're born,
size.
Your eyes are the same size.
Yeah. I once...
Can that be true?
It is true, that's
the
true.
The actual balls.
Yeah, that's the true
the
fact.
Eyeballs.
The eyeballs.
Is that really so?
That's so.
Babies, that's why babies have big eyes.
Exactly.
That's why children have big eyes.
Yeah. Well, you see, I once got that fact confused in my head, and I swore blind to someone in a big argument. That the one part of the human body that stays the same size your whole life from birth till death is your head.
Well, when was this? When did that argument happen?
Probably not that long ago. No, this is like 10 or 15 years ago I remember having this argument. And these people were like, what? Your head? So like a baby's head is the same as a fully grown adult's head.
That's simply not true.
No, of course it's not true. And I was completely insane. But I just dug myself so deep into this hole of erroneousness, I couldn't get out of it again. I did the same thing once with an argument about how fast supersonic flight was. I swore blind and got really angry about it and just said, you're so stupid, don't you realise that supersonic flight, i.e. Concorde, went at the speed of light.
Yeah, that's much too fast.
Yeah.
So don't sit too close to the
TV.
Don't
sit too close to the TV.
I think you're right. I think that's important for kids.
Yeah.
Because TV's exciting. I tell you the other thing, Adam, is televisions have got bigger and more powerful since we were children. So if anything, you should say, you should make them sit even further away than you did.
In the next room.
Imagine all the lethal things that are coming out of that telly.
Lasers,
poltergeists, videodromes.
Sillit bang.
Sillit bang, subliminal advertising.
No,
tell them to face the other way, in fact.
Yeah. Just get out. No TV. Bible.
Yeah. Get in the cupboard and read the Bible.
Get in the cupboard and read the Bible. Here's the other thing. Now, this is the thing that really gets me about being a dad. Put the DVDs back in their boxes.
Oh, would you please?
Come on, you can relate to that, right?
Yeah, I don't like grubby fingers over the DVDs.
I mean, it's maddening. These things
cost... Why do you let them touch the DVDs?
They shouldn't be allowed to. And so they just grab the things and they take it out of the player. They don't put it back in the box. You know, they put the thing face down. It scratches up the silver side.
What are they watching? Zombie Flesh Eaters? Private in Seychelles? What kind of things are they watching?
Debbie Does Dallas. That kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope you've put all that stuff on the top shelf.
Yeah, no, that's all on the top shelf. They don't, but that's something that you can relate to, and most parents can relate to. That's fury and frustration with not treating the DVDs properly. Do you think I'm turning into my dad for that?
I think you are, yes.
Oh, no.
But you should be proud. Your dad's a good man. Shall we have some music?
Yes, music. Here is Keane. That was Break the Night with Gullah by Richard Ashcroft. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
So it's movie review time. This time reviewing a movie that I've seen. You haven't seen it though, have you, Adam?
Which one is it? Superman.
Super boop 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 boop. That's how you say it.
Super boop boop boop.
Super boop 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 boop. That's how John Williams writes his themes. I mean, everybody knows this.
He just writes
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah.
Raiders
of the Lost Ark. And Star Wars. They're having Star Wars. And super boop 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 boop.
What about Jaws?
Jaws. Yeah, that one kind of works. But super man, I mean, that's a good one. It's a good one. I enjoyed it. I saw it at the IMAX.
This is the one. What's the full title of the thing?
Superman Returns.
Superman Returns. Is that all it is?
Even though if you rub out the U, it says Sperm Man. You can do that quite easily on the posters.
You're dirty.
I am stupid.
Superman Returns.
Superman Returns.
And this is directed by the guy...
Brian Singer.
Brian Singer, who
he
did...
He is a director what did X-Men 1 and X-Men 2 and The Usual Suspects. And another film that no one's seen called Family Viewing or something. It was his first film. But anyway, he's very talented.
Yeah.
And he's done a super-duper job of super-duper man.
Really, it's good, is it?
It's very good, especially the first hour.
Oh.
After he saves the plane,
yeah,
you can bugger off.
Right.
Because the rest of it's pretty uneventful, with some positively bad things happening. Like, Superman has a kid.
Does he?
And that's no good, is it? And that kid's got superpowers.
Well, you'd hope he would.
Emergent superpowers.
Right.
But that doesn't bode well, does it, for the sequels? He's only six in this one. If they make another sequel in 4 years, he'll be 10. You don't want a Superboy, do you?
Yeah, it'll turn into a Smallville, won't it?
I suppose so. Does Superman have a kid in... Oh, you mean the kid'll become a teenager and he'll be like teenage Superman?
Yeah, it'll go all
that would
OC
be no good.
On your ass.
But man, the first hour is incredible.
Is it?
Absolutely incredible.
But wait, look, are we talking about like a disastrous tail-off in the style of Independence Day, or is it just a little bit?
No, it's just a little. It basically just can't match the bit where the plane's going down and he saves the plane, and that's so incredible. And then there's a brilliant twist about where he lands with the plane, and it's so exciting. And we all up to then, we all thought it was the best film we'd ever seen in our lives.
Right.
I was crying my girlfriend was puking and weeing at the same time. Yeah. That's not true.
Your trousers were soaked.
But it was just very, very, yeah, especially in 3D. 3D technology is just brilliant now.
Is it? I didn't realise it was a 3D film.
Bits of it are in 3D. About 20 minutes of it are in 3D. A little logo comes up and you put your glasses on.
No. In every cinema this is?
No, just in the IMAX.
Oh, in the IMAX.
You've got to go to the IMAX. But IMAX is the future. Forget about conventional cinemas. IMAX is the place to go.
Yeah.
Especially in 3D. You know how passionate I am about Polar Express.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, boy. But
Joe's
this
the Polar
one,
Express King.
Oh, Superman, I do recommend it. It's really, really very, very good.
Oh, and but the ending's not like awful, is it?
Is it awful? It's a bit of a, I tell you who is awful.
Who?
Kate Bosworth and her Lois Lane.
Right.
She's boring. Female characters in movies, generally, they're not allowed any personality. Because personality's sort of sexist, isn't it? All women have got to be amazingly strong and have no sense of humour. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're characters.
The closest to a sense of humour you're allowed to get is Jennifer Aniston, who just says whatever and stuff like that.
Well, if women have a sense of humour, yeah, women generally, if they've got any personality, they're either real harridans and all they do is shout and bitch, yep, and they're really sarcastic, yep, or they're kind of like Jennifer Aniston, slightly wet and ditzy or whatever.
Ditzy.
You know?
But Kate Bosworth makes Margot Kidder's performance in the original Superman looks like a complete masterpiece.
Well, it kind of was.
It kind of was. She was brilliant. Yeah. I tell you what's even worse than female characters in movies are black female characters in movies.
Oh, tell me.
They've all got to be eco-warriors. They've all got to be into Mother Earth and the environment.
Yeah.
Can't have a sense of humour at all. Got to be really serious and angry about everything. And, oh, terrible.
Well, in animated films as well, I noticed that...
Kiddie cartoons.
All the black characters are just sort of sassy mamas, you know?
Yeah.
They're all like, girl, yeah, don't talk to the hand.
That's what it's
don't
like.
Look at me.
It's like in The Incredibles, isn't it? The black character has to be Mr. Freeze, Mr. Cool.
Yeah.
Come on. Anyway, I do recommend Superman Returns. Yeah, and if you see the poster, get a black pen, scribble out the U. It says Sperm Man.
Everybody's happy. Okay, music time now. Here's a free play for you. This is Spoon with Small Stakes. That was Small Stakes by Spoon from their excellent album Kill the Moonlight.
Stakes spelt how?
S-T-A-K-E-S.
Right, so they mean low, like low snakes. Low stakes.
Low tiny snakes.
Low snakes.
Yeah, the stakes are low.
Okay, good.
Why, were you worried that they were just talking about little bits of meat?
Yeah. It was just a rather boring restaurant order.
Small steaks, please. We'll be back shortly. XFM. That was Oasis, Joe's favourite band.
I love Oasis.
With Lila. What is it about Oasis that you most like?
I most like... what do I most like? Just the arrogance.
Yeah.
The aloofness.
The swagger.
You know... Weirdly, at this Superman preview that I went to see, there was a guy, I think he's a journalist, possibly for the NME, and he might be quite a well-known man around town, but he was dressed exactly like, like Liam.
Yeah.
Exactly like Liam, circa 97.
Right.
So he had one of those hats on. You know, how would you describe the Liam hat?
Like a sun hat thing.
No, it was like a more like a sort of an Andy Cap flat cap thing.
Yeah, I know.
But
what
a
you
sort
mean.
Of designer style one.
Right.
Then he had a sort of Beatles mop top thing. He had stubble. It's basically a mod look.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that but very recognisable as Liam Gallagher.
Uh-huh.
But it was as if he'd just come off Stars in Their Eyes. And I thought, well, what does that do for you in life? Like, if you're a journalist on the NME, then that's probably quite good for you because people go, oh, that guy's hardcore. He's so devoted to Oasis that he's prepared to make himself a walking joke. But there are some people in TV like that. There's a commissioning editor we know in television who dresses very eccentrically.
That's right.
And if you didn't know what he did, you'd think, that person's a bit of a prat. But when you do know what they do, you immediately think, that person's not a prat. He's so devoted to his passion,
yeah,
that he doesn't care what anybody thinks about him. Yeah. And so this guy, that's what I thought about this guy dressed as Liam. But who might you dress as if you were going to go that way?
Well, as you probably remember, I used to have a bit of a David Byrne fixation.
You dress as David Byrne, so you dress in like a big zoot suit.
A crazy big square suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, the thing about David Byrne is that he's long and thin and I'm kind of squat. So I never really got away with it that well.
Yeah.
But I went out, my mania extended to going out and buying a white waiter's jacket, which I bought, and I thought that would make me look like David Byrne. And I used to button up my shirt, like a dress shirt, top button done up,
yeah,
no tie, white waiter's jacket on, wandering around town thinking, I'm an eccentric man from a new wave band.
Yeah.
When in fact I was a kind of brat. Anyway, let's play some more music right now. Here's James Dean Bradfield. He doesn't really dress like anyone.
No, he's got his own style.
Yeah, yeah. And here he is working it with a track called That's No Way to Tell a Lie. James D. Bradfield there with That's No Way to Tell a Lie. That's the debut solo single from the Manic Street Preachers frontman.
And it sounds very like a Manic Street Preachers single, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's got the same instrumentation, which must be weird for the other members of the band. Like, there they were, having a nice time, being in a famous band.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what happened. What happened with the Preachers? Was it an...
I don't think they've split
they
up.
They haven't split. It's just his side project.
Yeah, it's like Tom York, you know. They like to kind of bust out on their own for a little while. Flex their solo muscles.
So how must they feel if he releases a single that just is exactly the same as it would be if they were still there?
Well, probably not exactly. I mean, Nicky
Disposable.
Wire...
Disposable.
Nicky Wire usually writes the lyrics, and I don't suppose he wrote the lyrics for that one. Maybe he did, I don't
well,
know.
Well, I don't know. Does it sound less good? Do you think it sounds less good than their usual stuff? Or as good? Do you miss the rest of the band?
Well, no, it's like a certain type of Mannix track, isn't it? It's not like all their stuff. But,
that's a good answer.
If I was the rest of the Mannix, I'd be a little bit unsettled.
Do you think you'd feel
a bit unsettled, yeah.
Oh.
Be like when Ronan went solo from Boyzone.
You know one other fallacy?
I mean, you release Life is a Roller Coaster, there's no going back.
Is that right.
For the rest of the band?
No, exactly. That's true, isn't it?
It is true.
And here's another fallacy. When they go solo, they always complain that, no, the band hasn't split, everything's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just having
But it's the beginning of the end.
It's the beginning.
Like, what about York Tom York?
Exactly.
His solo stuff.
Exactly.
Is that, that's the end of Radiohead?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Internal ructions, surely, wouldn't you think?
There's got to be.
No, but I mean, sometimes it has the effect of making everyone happier to see each other, you know.
Bringing people together, yeah.
Exactly. Once you've gone out and proved a few things for yourself, then you come back, you see your bandmates, you realise that you're a stronger proposition
when you prove that you can't really do it on your own.
Right, that's when you've had
when
a
you
total
go out
failure.
And prove that you can't do it, then it's, hey guys.
Hey, we're better together.
I see the value. But when you go out and you make a record like Life is a Roller Coaster,
yeah,
then it's goodbye Boyzone.
That's right. It's like you and me though, isn't it, Joe? You know,
I did that. I'm Ronan and you're the gay one.
All right then. Now, which one are you from House of Pain?
The very, very high one.
Here's Jump Around. Okay, I think it's time for some advertisements right now. Very exciting time for us both. We're both big fans of the advertising world.
Yep.
And the little playlets therein.
The little dramas. Hopefully it might be, Sue from Mel and Sue doing diarrhea pills. That's my favourite one.
That's your current favourite.
Yeah.
We can only hope.
Windy Pops.
Back shortly. XFM. That was Lily Allen with Smile. Now, she's the daughter of Keith Allen.
Did we already talk about the video for that?
No.
Well, in the video is quite aggressive, isn't it? Her boyfriend dumps her. She arranges for him to be mugged.
Yeah.
Then she arranges for these naughty men to go round to his flat and burgle him, ruin it, trash his flat, get his entire record collection, scratch up all the records.
Oh.
And it's very vicious and nasty. And it's intercut with her having a meal with him in a caf and singing the lyrics of the song as if, you know, she's Lily White.
Right.
Does that make sense?
She's Lily Allen.
Instead, she's Lily Allen.
Exactly.
But I don't know. Well, I saw that and I thought, first of all, I thought it was a public information film about how to stop being, like, done over by a woman.
Yeah.
And then I realised it was a pop video and being presented as entertainment.
And that made you appalled?
It made me quite appalled, yeah.
Well, there's a completely...
They'll stop at nothing, the Allens.
No.
For stardom and celebrity. They'll stop at nothing.
Ruthless.
Anything. They'll do anything.
Yeah.
Appear in anything.
It's a good single, though.
It's a great single. I'm not putting them down.
Yeah.
I think that's a brilliant thing to do.
There's an album coming out as well.
Yeah, no, with the albums, we've got the album. I've got the album. We were sent it the other day.
I haven't got the album.
Well, that's because I nicked it.
You nicked it. You always nick the good stuff.
I'm a knicker-knocker.
You know, we're talking about pop videos, though, and especially the way that women treat men in pop videos.
Women.
It's got completely nuts, men. Because I think the assumption is that women used to be treated as, like, pieces of meat in pop videos, right?
Yes.
So now...
And they still are in the hip-hop world.
That's true, I suppose. Yeah, but... Yeah, that is true.
Yeah,
isn't
no,
it?
Take it from me.
Yeah. But then they go too far the other way sometimes and treat men in a kind of outrageous way that you would never, ever treat a woman.
Yeah,
like
you know what? There's been quite a lot of think pieces about this in the papers, about particularly in relation to the advertising industry, how men have become like completely wimped out by adverts.
Yeah.
Men are like the inferior race, and women rule everything, right?
There was a pop video
Santi.
I saw the other day.
Yeah, she's happy about that.
Yeah.
Our producer, she's a woman, you see?
Yeah, get in the corner, Xanthi. Just stop nodding.
Put on a bikini and grind your booty.
That's right. But no, there was a video I saw the other day where it was like a whole bunch of sexy women with little bikinis on. And they had a sexy man, right? And he was just wearing a thong and he was sort of oiled up. And he looked like a dream boy or whatever they were.
Yeah.
They were called. Those stripping men.
Someone, well, you tell us. They're your dreams.
Who were the Chippendales? There you go.
There we go.
He looked like a Chippendale. And they had him strapped to a chair and they were humiliating him and throwing things on him and slapping him around and just treating him in a totally outrageous way. And you thought, if this was reversed, if it was a sexy woman strapped to the chair and there was like a load of sexy men doing this to her, it would be the most appalling thing you'd ever seen in your life. You know what I mean? No one would stand for it. So I don't see why it's necessarily... okay the other way around.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it should just be free for everybody.
What?
You know, anyone should be allowed to strap anybody to a chair. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Sexy. 104.9 FM in London. Online at xfm.co.uk.
This is XFM.
Hi, I'm Adam.
Hi, I'm Joe.
Joe.
I would like to thank you for choosing.
Please have your headsets ready for...
Adam and Joe in the studio, coming through loud and clear. Hello, yes, this is XFM.
That was Modern Love by David Bowie. And before that, you heard Sun Hits the Sky by Supergrass. This is Adam and Joe. It's the X List here on XFM for the last hour. So keep those requests coming in. We look at everyone. Sorry if we can't play your one, but we're doing our level best. Mainly, it's about the music. We're just going to play a whole bunch of great music for you this hour. Oh, I love Modern Love by David Bowie. That's an absolute peach of a song. I don't want to go out. I want to stay in. Get things done.
Does anyone care about David Bowie's Modern Love? Do the kids still know that record? Is Let's Dance an enduring album?
It's a classic.
Do kids have it in their back catalogue? I would have thought they had, like, Heroes... or maybe the best of Bowie. Do they have Let's Dance?
Yeah, I think it's considered a classic album, a classic Bowie album. I mean, it's the last classic Bowie album, really.
Yeah.
At the, well, it was beginning of the 80s, wasn't it?
The beginning of the end.
It was the beginning of the end.
For Bowie.
For me, it was a difficult one to love, you know, because it was so commercial.
It's very poppy.
So different from his previous stuff.
Different.
During the 70s.
Mm.
Different, did you just say?
Yeah.
Like is that what you'd be like if you're a music journalist?
Different. Now you said different. I was repeating.
I know. It just amused me that you repeated it.
Different. Yeah. 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 I'm making notes. You see.
Different. Yeah.
That'll be my subheading. Different. David Bowie's new album is different from the last. He has not re-released the previous one. He has done new songs. Anyway, exciting stuff. Get your texts in 83XFM. And we'll try and play them.
All right, we've got a track from the Chemical Brothers right now. This one is going out to Paul Brampton, who is listening to the show and enjoying it very much.
From Pinner.
Paul and Sophie, the sinner from Pinner. Enjoy this. This is Star Guitar. Chemical Brothers there with Star Guitar.
Is that the one in the video when they're on the train?
And it keeps repeating.
And all the buildings are going to the beat.
And it's going to the beat. And
yeah, that's clever. I love that video.
Clever idea.
It's directed by Michel Gondry, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does all the good ones.
He's a genius.
He's a musical genius.
He's a musical genius.
We got a caller on the line. His name is Tom Price. Hello, Tom Price.
Hello there.
What's going down? How's it hanging?
It's all good. How are you?
That's good. I'm glad we've used three hip phrases. What's going down? How's it hanging? It's all good.
Yeah. What's the nut butter?
No, Adam.
Oh.
You've messed it up.
Sorry.
Tom Price, are your jeans, like, really low? Is your bum sticking out?
No, don't do that.
Well, you want to do that because all the kids are doing that.
Oh, right.
get with it.
Are you on a skateboard now?
I am, actually. I just came off of it.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Hey, Tom, are you enjoying the show?
Yeah, it's great. It's really good.
Hey, thanks very much, Tom.
Put him on the spot a little bit.
Well, you know, some people would say no or come with some complaints. I think our listeners are quite, what's the word? Forceful.
Yeah, you reckon.
Got the courage of their convictions.
That's true.
That was an honest response.
Absolutely.
What would you like to hear, Tom, on the X-List this afternoon?
Can I have Morrissey, First of the Gang to Die, please?
The first of the gang was the one to die. Who was the first of the gang to die?
There we go. Was that good enough, or do you want to hear the actual record?
That was pretty good, but the record would be good as well.
All right, mate. Fair enough, if we must. There we go. Thanks, Tom. This is Adam and Joe on the X-List. It's Saturday afternoon. This is Morrissey.
That was Morrissey with First of the Gang to Die.
And that was going out to Tom Price from Islington. Tom, hope you enjoyed that slice of Moz, the Manchester Pope of Mope. They always put that on the notes. That's still on here.
The Manchester Pope of Mope?
Yeah. He's the Pope of Mope.
Is there always a Pope of Mope? I mean, when he dies, will they have to get someone else?
There will be a great big ceremony.
A ceremony to crown the Pope of Mope? Wow. I mean, there's almost like a music, because there's the King of Pop.
Uh-huh.
There's the Pope of Mope. Are there any others? What's Madonna?
She's the...
The
slag of handbag.
The slag of handbag. You need a place rhyming with slag. The slag of... I don't know. There's probably somewhere in Wales. Modrag.
We'll be back shortly.
That was Waterfall by the Stone Roses. This is Adam and Joe on XFM, London's 104.9. That was requested by David Cox in Hampstead, who is apparently in bed.
He's in bed.
I wish I was there too. Not in bed with you, David, but just in bed.
Wouldn't it be nice to do the show from bed?
I know, you can only get that kind of... Didn't John Peel do that?
Well, John
Lennon
did it
from his house.
Yeah, John Peel did it from his house. I don't think he ever did it from
his... Get it to your house, then it's just a short distance to get it to the bed. You know, the alternative is just to come in our dressing gowns and slippers. To arrive in our dressing gowns and slippers at the studio.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
No, that's not fun at all. That's the worst of both worlds, isn't it?
It'll be a bit grotty. You're right.
It's ad break time now. We'll be back shortly. XFM.
Modest Mouse with Float On. This is Adam and Joe on XFM, London's 104.9. Number one station for rock music, chittity chatting and adverts.
In the world. Now, Joe Cornish, this may seem a little trivial, and I know usually we deal with news topics on the show, but forgive me because it's bugging me. Would you consider a Jaffa cake? Would you consider it a cake or a biscuit?
Well, the Jaffa cake is described on the packaging as a cake.
Yeah, yeah.
The Jaffa cakes are cakes, hence Jaffa cake.
Exactly, the clue.
So I'd describe it as a cake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah? But I appreciate it's a biscuit-sized cake, so I'd like to offer you this.
Yeah, well...
Biscake.
Biscake?
It's a biscake. Sounds like a different expression, doesn't it?
What?
But it's a biscake.
A biscake?
You know? Because it's biscuit-shaped and sized.
Yeah.
But were you to take the jelly orange off and the chocolate, you couldn't describe that thing as a biscuit. A biscuit's to do with consistency and crunch.
Crunch, right.
Like something soft is a cake. Yeah?
Yeah.
Something tough is a biscuit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
That's interesting. Mm. Well, you know, because...
It's not interesting. It's just fact.
It is fact.
It's pure baking fact.
Yeah. Well, it is.
But...
And...
Yeah.
And it has an important financial consequence for the manufacturers of Jaffa Cakes, Joe Cornish, because, check this out, under UK law, no VAT is charged on biscuits and cakes. Right, they are zero rated. But check this out. Deal with this. Chocolate-covered biscuits, however, are classed as luxury items and are subject to VAT at 17.5%.
No.
Yes.
But there's no VAT on food.
On chocolate-covered biscuits.
Is there? You're telling me there's VAT on chocolate-covered biscuits?
Yeah.
I thought generally there's no VAT on food.
Chocolate-covered biscuits.
You don't go to Sainsbury's, you don't get VAT...
Chocolate-covered biscuits.
...on the bottom of the thing, do you? You don't give your supermarket bill to your tax man, do you? Adam Buxton.
For your chocolate-covered
biscuits. Do you give
biscuits.
Your accountant your supermarket receipts?
No.
Exactly. And you certainly don't get a separate... Here's your receipt, sir, for your shopping.
I'm just quoting...
And here's your biscuit receipt.
I'm quoting...
Here's your luxury good receipt that you can declare to your account. It doesn't happen. You're quoting what?
I'm quoting...
Wikipedia.
I'm quoting the facts from Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. You know that Wikipedia is mostly rubber people.
No. In 1991, this was challenged in court. So I don't think they would have had, like, a court case. At one stage, the judge would just say, has anyone considered the fact that none of this is real? surely we're all wasting our time. I've heard from Joe Cornish. He disputes the fact that any of this is actually
You're
real.
You're missing out the middleman, which is Wikipedia.
In 1991, the question of whether Jaffa Cakes were cakes or biscuits was challenged in court. Now, this may have been because their Jaffa Cakes are about the same size and shape as some types of biscuit. The question that had to be answered was this. What criteria should be used to class something as a cake or biscuit? McVitie's defended the classification of Jaffa Cakes as a cake by producing a giant Jaffa Cake.
Wow.
To illustrate that
just to distract the jury.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's a giant cake.
You're not guilty.
Made a cake. It looks like a chocolate UFO with an orange alien inside driving
a
it.
A big flat orange alien.
No. They produced a giant Jaffa Cake to illustrate the fact that their Jaffa Cakes were simply mini cakes, right? So they just blew the whole thing up and said, look, it's a cake. They also argued that the distinction between cakes and biscuits is simply that cakes go hard when stale, whereas biscuits go soft. It was demonstrated that Jaffa Cakes become hard when stale, and McVitie's won the case.
Wow. That's earth-shattering.
I threw my piece of paper across like a lawyer.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because I feel as if I've won my case here. And given you some facts.
Wow.
Now, what?
I really didn't follow that at all. There was a court case, McVitie's has something to do with it, a giant UFO landed, it had a big flat orange alien, the jury were so amazed and excited by the giant cake that that they threw the case out. Is that what happened?
Yes.
Oh, we've learned so much. So, but in conclusion, a Jaffa Cake is a cake. Because it's called a Jaffa Cake.
Music time right now. This is a free play. And we're allowed a free play every now and again, even in the X-List. And this is one that I hope you'll enjoy from a classic album by a classic XFM artist. Beck is the artist. Mutations is the album. This is Cancel Check. And it's going out to Garth Jennings.
This is Adam and Joe on XFM. Listen, we've got a caller on the line. It's Meg. I think she's at work. Hello, Meg.
Hi.
Hey there. Now, you're cheekily calling from work, so we've got to make this quite quick, otherwise you might be fired, right?
Absolutely.
The boss is on the prowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you work, Meg?
I'm working for a small charity in Fulham.
Oh, man.
And you're just giving charity stuff to anyone small?
No, it's for profound and multiple learning disability.
Yeah, that's put you in your place, hasn't it, Adam, with your facetious comments? Here, feathering your own nest by doing a lazy radio show while other people are raising money for people with proper difficulties.
So, are they all small, the people with... Okay. Now, what are you going to request, Meg?
Crash, please, by The Primitives.
Yes, very good choice. Meg, best of luck with all your fundraising.
Thank you very much.
Just believe in yourself and you believe in the world and everything will be fine.
I'm small. Am I getting any money out of it? No. As usual, nothing. Thanks very much. Enjoy your song, Meg, and your charity. Me, I'm small. Bye.
Here you go, way too fast.
That was The Primitives with Crash. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. It's the X-List here, the final hour of our show on a Saturday afternoon. We'll be back shortly.
XFM.
That was the kind of plastic punk stylings of Green Day with Warning, taken from the album Warning. All right? So just think
you,
about
I have been warned.
You know, have you ever seen Green Day live, Joe Cornish?
What, in the flesh, live?
Playing music at a festival or anything
like
that. No. They're very good. And one of the things they often do is get a member of the audience up to actually play guitar on one of the tracks.
Right.
You know, they'll say, who wants to play guitar? Everyone puts their hands up. They say, well, you gotta know a few chords, you know, so it can't just be someone who's never played the guitar before.
Yeah.
But you don't have to play very well. They get the person up, the fan comes up, you know, shaking with excitement, and they say to them, okay, this one you just play a D, a G, and an F, and, you know, chances are the fan will already know it. And off they go. They play along with
that. That must be really exciting for the fan.
Amazing. Can you?
I never trust that kind of thing. Ever since Bruce Springsteen pulled Courtney Cox out of the crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
I never trust that. She was Courtney Cox. She's an actress.
That's right. Well, that was a video, though, not a live gig. I mean, it was a video of a live gig.
It was a video of a live gig.
Yeah. You know, that's how... You know who I mean by Henry Rollins?
Yeah.
Hank Rollins. That's how he became the lead singer of Black Flag.
By being pulled out of the crowd?
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
I know. They used to do that as well. Black Flag used to just get their fans up and sing, and Hank did such a good job that he was...
Does it ever work the other way? Do they ever just push a band member into the crowd and say, stay there? That's where you belong. Go back.
That's right.
Throw them back into the sea. It's like fishing, isn't it?
Into the sea?
Yeah, the sea of people.
The people sea.
The people sea.
Well, that's pretty much it for our show this week.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll be back at the same time next week, 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. with more exciting chit-chat and music and adverts.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for the Adam and Joe podcast, get to it right now. This very moment, find a computer and sort your lives out. You know, these things are free. They're enjoyable.
Don't be aggressive about it. You'll put people off.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah. Do it if you want. Don't if you don't want.
No, you have to. You have to. They're free and they're really, they're fantastic. It's like the boiled down best bits from the XFM show, plus never before heard nuggets specially created for the podcast.
Yeah.
So do check them out. Anyway, thanks for listening. See you again next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.